hospitals who have their own emergency department. So we're a little bit different to the general departments in which many of my colleagues, including Dr. Mahmood, work. So recruitment into the consultant tier in my institution has always been reasonably successful. We're currently at 6 consultants here, and we're looking to expand that over the next couple of years as the way that emergency care is delivered becomes more of a consultant-led service, and that's something that's reflected nationwide.
So the money's not putting off people coming to your institution, and nor are the problems with training that Dr. Mahmood identified?
Well, the money isn't, no. And the training is slightly different because the majority of consultants who will come and work in a children's emergency department will train through a slightly different route.
Okay.
The colleagues that Dr. Mahmood has train through an emergency medicine route, whereas my colleagues tend to train through pediatrics. And the crisis that has befallen emergency medicine in terms of getting people to come into the specialty at the bottom end to work through those long years of training ultimately to become a consultant have not been quite so evident in pediatrics. What happens with my guys is that they start in pediatrics and then they develop an interest in emergency medicine. They do further training in that subspecialty and they end up being somebody like me working in a children's emergency department. So we're fairly fortunate, but I work in inner city Birmingham with a large number of district general hospitals and university teaching hospitals in the area, all of whom are having problems with recruitment to the large number of consultants that are needed to increase that delivery of service. So it is playing itself out in Birmingham.
And what's the impact of that on people's health?
I don't think that there's a huge impact in people's health. I think the impact is more on the pressures that it delivers to the staff because, what happens when things get harder in the emergency department, when things get busier, is not that care necessarily falls in its quality, is that we just work harder. And that's not to sort of lament our plight at all, but it is the case that, as Dr. Mahmood said, there's not that many people who are well suited to go into the specialty. We have a certain characteristic and personality type that means that we're happy to work hard and drive hard and we kind of never get off the flywheel. Now, if you're that type of person, when the waiting room fills up and it looks dreadful, you don't just sort of resign yourself to saying, oh, well, it's all going to go wrong. You just kind of crack on and work harder as part of your multidisciplinary team. You get the patient seen as quickly as you can. So I would like to think that even though the pressures on the departments are increasing, the numbers of attendances are increasing, in fact, quality of care, notwithstanding a few high-profile reports nationwide that we all kind of know about, that the quality of care is maintained. But that's really at the cost of the efforts that are being put out by the staff that's delivering that care.
Okay. Margaret Hodge, welcome. Is the problem really as bad as you say in this report?
Well, I think it is. If you think that at any one time only 17% of A&E departments are fully staffed, and I'm afraid I have a slight... I mean, I think it's very interesting to hear from Dr. Stanhope and Dr. Mahmood, but I have a slight difference in the evidence that we had from what Dr. Stanhope said.